Welcome to the Word, to the Uttermost, a ministry of First Emmanuel Baptist Church located in Chesapeake, Virginia. This message is presented by Bible teacher and servant of Christ, Dr. Walter Yoho.
John 14 is the perfect chapter. That is, we're going to use the word perfect to outline the chapter. We've already looked at the perfect prescription in verse 1, the perfect place, verses 2 and 3, the perfect path, verses 4 through 6, the perfect person, verses 7 through 11, the perfect power, verse 12, the perfect prayer, verses 13 and 14, and the perfect performance, verse 15. We now come to the perfect paraclete. And then in verse 19, we have the perfect pledge. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face eternity. The last time the world saw Jesus, he was hanging dead upon the cross. The next time they see him, he will be coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The next time the disciples see him, they will become witnesses of his resurrection. We read in verses 25 and 26, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." In the Old Testament, God appears to men. In the Gospels, God abides with men. But in the epistles, God abounds in men. As Paul says in Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." When we get to heaven and ask Moses, what was it like to part the Red Sea? Or ask David, what was it like to slay Goliath? They will turn and ask, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit himself living inside of you? But in verse 27, I want you to notice the perfect peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We have been looking at John 14, the Psalm 23 of the New Testament, and we've called it the perfect chapter because we're using the word perfect in our outline. We now come to John 14, 29 in our study, the perfect prediction. "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Did you hear about the Virginia weatherman who moved to Florida because the weather didn't agree with him? You know, with all of our modern meteorological techniques, it's hard to sometimes get the weather right just a few days out. And yet, the Bible prophets would predict things hundreds of years in advance, things that were very detailed, things that were very amazing, and in due season, they would all come to pass. History agrees with prophecy. The Bible is more up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. Indeed, as C.S. Lewis puts it, that which is not eternal is eternally out of date. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Have you ever stopped to consider that Jesus is the only person who ever lived who could plan his own birth? Can you hear the excitement in Philip's voice as he finds his friend, Nathanael, and says unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, John 1:45. Well, I not only want you to look at the perfect prophecy, but I also want you to see the perfect purity, John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He has nothing to grab a hold of in Jesus that he could use for his own purposes. Though Jesus was sorely tried and tempted, these trials and temptations make it as clear as day that our sinless Savior is tried and true. His nature was like a pure crystal glass, full of pure fountain water, which though shaken and agitated ever so much, cannot show, because it hath no dregs. The Prince of Peace, verse 27, grants us peace the world cannot take away. The Prince of Peace, verse 30, possesses an integrity the prince of this world cannot take advantage of. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. You know, we all love pure things, from the white marble to the peerless alabaster, to the rain-drenched sky, to the softly fallen snow, to the silver wings of a dove, to the bright, happy laughter of a little child. And so God would have each one of us love and pursue a pure heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've looked at all these wonderful, perfect things that Jesus promises us and provides for us in John 14. And in response, I would ask with Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Do you recognize just how imperfect you really are? Come to Christ to have and to hold a perfect prescription, a perfect place, a perfect path, a perfect person, a perfect power, a perfect prayer, a perfect performance, a perfect paraclete, a perfect pledge, a perfect peace, a perfect prophecy, and a perfect purity. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:9-10. The perfect Savior for imperfect people. That's what John 14 is all about. You see, religion is the best man can do, but Christianity is the best God can do. My friend, there can be no true peace where the heavenly dove does not make his nest in any heart he has not made new. What about you? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Dear Lord, please draw lost sinners to you and help them to turn from their sins and trust Jesus Christ, your Son, as their personal Lord and Savior, and make them new creations through Christ Jesus, your Son. Amen. Beloved, a big part of this broadcast is to make clear the gospel message, and I'd like to take the remaining time to share that with you. All have sinned, Romans 3:9-23. That includes me and that includes you. Being holy, God must punish sin. Otherwise, he would not be true to himself and the whole world would be thrown off course. The wages of sin is death, states the word of God, Romans 6:23. Sin must be paid for. Yes, the wages of sin is death, and that's grim news. But that's only the first half of the verse. The good news is found in the second half, which reads, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If a person dies and goes to hell, he gets exactly what he deserves. Strict justice, nothing more but nothing less. But if a person goes to heaven, he doesn't get what he deserves. He gets what Jesus Christ deserves. You can't save yourself. Salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. It is finished, John 19:30. Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed his precious blood on the cross to pay for all your sins. Then on Easter Sunday, he arose from the dead, having conquered all that conquered you. Turn from your sins and embrace Christ as your Savior, and you shall receive God's gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Hebrews 9:26. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Mark 1:15. My friend, life is serious. Death is serious. Sin is serious. Salvation is serious. Eternity is serious. And your soul is serious. At stake is life itself. Eternal life. Your eternal life. No man on his deathbed ever said, "I am sorry I have received Christ and lived the Christian life." Let the Lord speak to your heart. Do not resist his glorious work. Tell the Lord Jesus you want him to save you right now.
This has been a presentation by Dr. Walter Yoho. For further information, comments, prayers, and material, please contact missions300ministry@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.